Galatians chapter 5. Let's see what happens when I say this. I'm going to preach for an extremely long time today. Let's see if it works, if it's counteractive. Probably not. You're probably thinking, thanks for being honest. Galatians chapter 5, we will look at temperance this morning, and then tonight we'll finish up chapter 5. And pretty soon here finish up this book of Galatians and then move into the fundamentals of the faith. And the fundamentals of the faith, I would encourage you, if you're not, these are really the bedrock of Christianity. These are the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. The Bible is full of doctrine, but there are some that we call the fundamentals. These are the basic bedrock, concrete foundation that Christianity is built upon. And we call ourselves fundamental Baptist because we hold literally to these fundamentals of the faith. Now you might say, well, doesn't every Christian? Well, no, that's why we specifically call ourselves fundamentalists, because not everybody views the Bible the way that we do. But every Christian should. But that doesn't mean that they do. But we do. Okay, I hope that you do. That's where I stand as your pastor. That's where this church stands. So I hope that we're all in one accord there. But what we're going to do is we're going to go over those fundamentals, and that'll be coming up here before too long, just as soon as we finish this book. And we need to know everything that we can about the Bible, but this is so vital that we understand the fundamentals, because they're under attack, not just from the world, they're under attack inside of Christianity. Other churches would ridicule those of us who would hold to the fundamentals. So we need to know, not just be able to say, well, I believe in the fundamentals. We need to know why we believe what we believe. It's important not just to know what you believe, but know why you believe it. Okay, and be able to go to the Word of God and show people. And so I'm looking forward to that. And those are going to be morning and evening, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. So right now, if you're not currently attending Sunday evenings, obviously we'd love to have you back on Sunday evenings anytime. But I just want to give you a little extra encouragement that as we go through the fundamentals, if you're only here on Sunday morning, you're going to miss about half of them. And these are very, very important that we get these. And I think it's something that a church needs to revisit from time to time, that we go back every now and then and go over these. And so this will be the first time I've preached through them since I've been here, but it won't be the last. But those are coming attractions. That's just what's to come. That's a preview. That's not the feature presentation this morning, the main event. So let's get to that. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. We'll go ahead and read 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear God, we come to you one more time in prayer and ask that you'd help us to understand your word and be changed by it. Help us to just ignore anything that would take our attention away from you and your word. Help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I also want to tell you this evening, as we look at the last part of this chapter, we'll look at verses 24 through 26 this evening and deal specifically with a topic that is another much-needed topic, and it's a topic that some Christians struggle with, trying to find out what the Bible has to say about it, when it's really very simple, and that is the victorious Christian life. You know, the saved person still fights temptation and fights against the devil and fights against the things of the world. And sometimes in our weakness, we give in. And sometimes we have habits and different things that we kind of battle with The Bible gives us the blueprint how to live victoriously over sin, how to have not just a Christian life, but the victorious Christian life, not to be encumbered. Doesn't mean perfection, that we'll never sin again, but it means we don't have to fall as much as we do. And the Bible gives us the blueprint and the roadmap how to have victory over sin. So I would encourage you to be back tonight as we look at how to have victory over sin and how to have the victorious Christian life. But this morning we come to this last part of the fruit of the Spirit. And maybe it's one of those, being the last part, maybe it's one of those that's the hardest to swallow. Remember when you were a kid and you were sitting at the table and there was something on the plate that sometimes it was something you didn't like, or sometimes it's something you just didn't feel like finishing. Maybe you liked it, but you just didn't feel like finishing it, but your mom or dad said, you have to finish that. You got to finish those noodles, those mashed potatoes, whatever it is, before you get up. And you take a bite, and what does that food always do once it gets in your mouth? It grows. And it grows. And you took a bite that small and you feel like a chipmunk packed out, or pastor eating little Debbie's. You just feel packed out. And you cannot get this down. We come to this last bite of the fruit of the Spirit this morning, and it's temperance. And it's one that perhaps we have a hard time getting down. Okay? Not that any of these are easy, because they all are in contradiction to the flesh, okay? But temperance is one of those that even that we're going to look at what we see in the world, but we're going to concentrate on the church this morning. It's one of those things that when we look around, it's another one that's just kind of hard to find. Just kind of hard to find. You see a lot of love when you look around. It's just not the right kind of love. You can see some of these things, but they're not always of the Spirit. But temperance this morning. I believe that as we preach through this, all of us will be able to identify at least one area, in our life where we can say that we are lacking temperance. Maybe we'll be able to identify more than one area, but I think all of us will be able to walk out of here saying that right there, that area right there in my life is where I do not exercise the temperance that I should. And that's the work that I pray God does on us this morning. All right, temperance. As we've studied through the fruit of the Spirit, one of the things that we've seen, like I said a minute ago, is how contrary these things are to our flesh. And they're also contrary to how the world lives and the world's philosophy. Okay, the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of the devil. You have all of those over here, and then you have the fruit of the Spirit over here. Okay, let's just look at them real quick. Love. Well, we see some love in the world, but in the world it's for the things of the world. It's not the love of God, the love of Christ, the love for God. It's the love of self and pleasure and the things of the world. Not much joy in the world, is there? Not much joy at all. People seeking happiness, and there's actually quite a bit of happiness, because a lot of things can make you happy. But happiness isn't lasting. Happiness depends on your situation. My favorite analogy is that happiness is a thermometer. It goes up and down depending on your situation. You could be happy one day because things are going good and something's happening in your life that makes you happy, and the next day things could change and you're not happy anymore. Joy, though, is a thermostat. That thermostat back there, we set it to a certain temperature and it keeps the room constant. No matter what happens, the thermostat stays where we set it. Joy, if you have joy from God, it can't be taken away by the world. And sometimes we feel like we are lacking a little bit. Well, it's because we've taken our eyes off of who the one who gives us our joy and put it on the things of the world, but we just keep them on God and He will keep us there. Peace. Boy, people are seeking that now, aren't they? Not a lot of peace. You turn on the, pick up the paper, turn on television, and somebody's just always blowing somebody up or getting ready to blow somebody up or threatening to blow somebody up. And it's usually us in Israel, isn't it? I mean, somebody's always threatening to blow us or Israel up. And by the way, the main reason they want to blow us up is because of Israel, because we support Israel and we're an ally of theirs, and because of the how God has blessed this nation through the years and the prosperity that we've seen. Over in the Middle East, a lot of those countries refer to us as the great devil. I mean, I would say any nation that routinely chants in the street, death to America, probably wants to do us harm, don't they? That's a pretty good sign that we're not going to sit down and have coffee together anytime soon. But man, they're just a lack of peace. Long-suffering, there's just people don't want to endure anything anymore. Gentleness. People are brass nowadays and brutish. Goodness, not much of that anymore. Faith, not in the things of God. Meekness, people are all about themselves. So we just don't see much of this in the world because it's contrary. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings these about in our lives. But see, the believer can have all of these things because the believer has the source, the Holy Spirit, where these come from. But this morning we look at temperance. Let's just deal with our country here for a minute. In the United States, does it not seem that overindulgence is the norm? Overindulgence just seems to be the norm in our country. No one knows how. Nor does anybody seem to want to tell themselves no. I mean, let's just think about it. Everything has to be bigger and better and more, and you have to get more. And you know, there was a time when a 24-hour restaurant or store or gas station didn't exist, but people have to have what they want right now, and so stores are open. And it's because the people want it. You say, well, all these stores, why are they open? Because people want them to be open. Because there's money in it. You know, you can't get upset for places, you can't get upset for businesses being open on Sunday when about all of us from time to time run to the store on Sunday or go get gas or something on Sunday. I mean, they do it because people just can't wait for anything. Got to have it right now. Okay, I remember I am always forgetting when I'll go to a drive-thru or a restaurant or something, I'm always forgetting that the sizes of drinks have changed. And no kidding, these guys are teenagers. They don't know this. It's been like this the whole time they've been alive. A small fountain drink today is about 20-some ounces, about like that. That was a large when I was a kid. And the small was like what comes in a Happy Meal now. It was, I mean, you remember that? It was. I can remember the Big Gulp. Remember when the Big Gulps came out? It was Bigfoot or 7-Eleven or one of them did the Big Gulp, and it was like this big. And then I remember, whoa, and then all the restaurants went to that. You go now, and you order a large, and I hope you drove the pickup truck to haul that thing home. You got to get a small to get a 20 ounce. Now it's just everything's big, everything overindulgence, more, 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 more. Nobody knows how to tell themselves no. Nobody knows how to cut themselves off. Nobody seems to want to. Nobody cares about cutting themselves off. You go to a restaurant. I can also remember when I was younger, all-you-could-eat buffets, they were few and far between. They were there, but there weren't as many as there are now. And now it seems you can find a buffet for just about any food that you want to eat. Well, there's pizza buffets and Chinese buffets and this buffet and everything. And I know that some people go in and eat modestly and everything, but some people go in and just, you know, gorge and should have stopped three plates ago and can't get... People just don't know how to stop. People don't know how to stop. They don't know how to restrain themselves. Now. And I want everything. I want all of it, and I want it all right this minute. Go to work and absolutely cannot wait to spend the entire weekend on the lake. And some of us like to fish and hunt and do different things. Well, that's fine, but people just, they just overindulge in everything. People don't know how to restrain themselves. They don't know how to tell themselves no. The entertainment industry knows this. Okay, the stores know this. The restaurants know this. The entertainment industry knows this. They've tapped into this. Remember when if you missed a show, you just missed it. You just had to go to work or school and find out what happened. I mean, it was just... And before there was cable and everything, we all had antennas. If it wasn't coming in, you just weren't watching it. Mamaw would send us outside to turn that antenna pole and try to tune that station. You just, well, you watched it or not. If you missed the game, you just went to work the next day or school the next day and your buddies told you what happened and you just missed it. That doesn't exist anymore, does it? That does not exist in our culture. The entertainment industry has tapped into this. Now there's on demand. You could turn your television on with certain satellite companies. And things like Netflix, and they've got one called Hulu. And you can subscribe to these things, and whatever you want to watch at whatever time, 3 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's as old as Petticoat Junction or it's as new as whatever was on last week. I couldn't tell you. It's probably a cop or a hospital show if it was on last week. Everything's about cops or hospitals. Boy, just watch every episode right now, just right when I want it. You don't have to wait for anything. There is a term that's floating around. I know I've been blowing your minds with all these new hip social media terms. But there's a term now called binge watching. Remember when you just heard about binge what? Eating. Binge eating, binge drinking. Now it's binge watching. Because everything is at our fingertips, everything's on demand, sit down and watch all 90-some episodes of whatever it is in order. Do these people not work? Have they got IVs and stuff where they don't have to sleep? They're just binge watching. But it's there because people want it and people do it. It's not the entertainment. It's not their fault. They're just responding to a demand. The point is, I mention all this to point this out to you. We live in a society that every day becomes less and less temperate and less moderate. And just overindulges in everything. Everything. Rather than saying the old phrase, you can have too much of a good thing. Remember when people used to say that? You know, you can have too much of a good thing. You know, you can eat too much chocolate cake. For some of us, that threshold is higher than others, but you can eat too much chocolate cake. You can, you know, you can do too much of this or too much of that. Now the motto seems to be too much of a good thing is still not enough. I need more. More, 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 more. And have you noticed the things that people binge on aren't even good things? Just stuff of the flesh and just fleshly appetites. But what is temperance specifically? I mean, I understand we look out in the world and we wouldn't expect to see the fruit of the Spirit out there, but I want us to see what it looks like out there, but then I want us to notice that sometimes we get this way, a lack of temperance. What is temperance? Well, first of all, it's moderation. It's moderation. Particularly, it's habitual moderation, meaning a continued moderation. in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions. Now, the natural appetites and the natural passions are, eating and drinking and looking and the things of the flesh. Those are the natural appetites that we all share. Those, okay? We all, everybody eats, and we all need something to drink, and those are the natural appetites. And temperance deals mainly with those things, okay? Not exclusively, but for the most part, okay? There are all manner of areas where we need to be temperate, but specifically, not exclusively, but specifically, more often than not, it deals with those things, okay? The natural appetites and passions. Well, what does it look like? Temperance applies to many different areas of our lives. We've already talked about eating and drinking. You know, we ought know when enough is enough. We ought know when to stop. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he and his wife, this was a couple years ago, he and his wife were trying to lose weight together, and they were trying these different diets and different things. And he was telling me, he said, this is something he read, so I don't know if it was right or not, but here's what he told me. He said, we have a natural switch when we eat that tells us when we're full. I would say that's just called your stomach. Okay, you just know when it's full. He said, some of us, he was talking to me, he said, some of us, like you and I, our switch is delayed, and it doesn't go off when it's supposed to. So we don't realize that we're full until we're stuffed. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Okay? Here's what I do know. I have sat at many a table knowing I was full and kept on eating. Okay? Because, I mean, it was just so good, right? I mean, it was Thanksgiving, and that's the only time of year that we get this, you know. So I think I know when that switch is tripped. I think we, as people, just ignore the switch. We just don't pay any attention to the switch. But temperance comes into play with eating and drinking. How about recreation? You know, recreation is supposed to be something that we do once in a while when our work is done, when our chores are done, when our duties are done, when we've done the things that are productive, then we take a little time for recreation. People don't know how to say no to recreation anymore. People don't know how to tell themselves no, or how to limit those things. Every second that I'm not at work is not an opportunity for me to be on the lake. There are other things that need to be done. So we do that in moderation. What about speech? What about temperance in speech? Okay, so here's what temperance looks like. It means I don't gorge at the table. It means my recreation is moderate, and I don't spend all of my time in recreation. It means that whenever we speak, look, I get that nowadays parents are teaching their children that these are bad words, and obviously little kids, we want to teach them not to use these words at certain times. But, you know, I'm going to say something that I said in a public school one time, and you would have thought I took God's name in vain. People just don't know when to shut up. They just don't know when to clam it. Tighten that lip. I'm talking in quantity and quality. Sometimes people just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and never say anything. Come on, you've heard me preach. You know, did I tell you about the guy, the preacher, that had been married, and his wife said, look, he saw a box in the top of the dress, in the top of the closet, and he said, "What's that box?" She said, "Don't touch that box. Don't open that box. That's my box. Please don't ever mess with that box. Please, just trust me. Please don't ever mess with that box." He said, "All right." 20 years they'd been married. He'd been preaching for 20 years. He hadn't touched the box. One day she was at the store and he couldn't take it. He didn't exercise temperance, I guess. And he opened the box. And he saw three eggs on a stack of money. This box was full of money and had three eggs in there. And so his wife came home. He said, "Honey, I have to confess. I looked in the box." She said, "You didn't." He said, "I did. I'm sorry." "What are the eggs for?" She said, "When we got married, I decided that every time you preached a bad sermon, I was going to put an egg in that box." He said, "All right, 20 years and only three bad sermons. That's pretty good." She said, "Well, wait a minute. Did you see the money?" He said, "Yeah, there was a lot of money in there." She said, "Well, every time I got a dozen, I sold them." Okay? But some people just don't want to stop talking. Now, sometimes it's quantity. You're trying to get somewhere. You've got something to do, and the person just goes and goes and goes. And you don't want to be rude, but you're thinking, "Man, come on." And sometimes it's quality. Sometimes people just don't know how to rule their tongue. They don't know. They don't have any temperance when it comes to their tongue, and they think everything is everybody's business. It isn't. Everything is not for the public circle. One of the dangers... I grew up in churches where people were allowed and encouraged to just stand up and say whatever they wanted to say and give, you know, testimonies and things like that. And we've done that here where I have given the opportunity, but we're safe here. There are some churches that you can't do that. And people just stand up, and I have heard people stand up and just air everything. Some of you maybe have witnessed that before. They get up, and man, they just tell... I mean, they're griping about their spouses and their kids and everything right there in church. So speech, temperance in speech, know when to shut your mouth. And know what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said. And we're going to look at these things specifically. We're going to look at some scriptures that apply to these. I just want to go over the list. What about relationships? People don't know how to be temperate in their relationships. You know, they make a new friend and they have a good time with that friend and hang out with them and everything. But then they're just spending all of their time with them until they finally can't stand one another. People don't know how to be temperate. How about even in something good like work? What about someone who is all work and neglects their home and their family and their church and neglects everything else because they don't know when it's time to clock out and take care of the other matters of life? I know we don't see that as much nowadays. Nowadays we see more of people don't want to clock in to start with. People don't want to work to start with. But sometimes people, when they get to work, don't have any time. We're not talking about working hard and doing a good job. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who work is everything. And your marriage is suffering, and your children are suffering, and your church is suffering. Everything else is suffering. You're not praying. You're not spending time with God. You're not in His Word because it's all work. People don't know how to be temperate. They don't know how to put things in their proper place. Now, here's the thing. The Christian, you and I, we cannot say, "I couldn't help myself." Because we can with the help of the Holy Spirit, because part of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. We can help ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit, and this is a trait that we need to work at. We need to exercise it. This is something that takes some work on our part. If you go to Philippians chapter 3, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3, and find verse 18. Now, here's what it looks like among the lost. Okay, this lack of temperance looks like this among the lost. We've just tried to kind of set the, you know, lay the groundwork here to show, hey, temperance is something that is missing in the world, but we would expect that, but it shouldn't be missing in the life of a Christian. But here's what it looks like in the world. It says, excuse me, Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now look at this. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know what that means? Whose God is their belly? All they care about is what their flesh wants. That's what rules them. What does my flesh want? Their God is their belly. Well, that's a characteristic of the lost. That shouldn't characterize Christians. Christians ought to be able to say no and limit themselves and have some discipline, shouldn't we? Because this isn't referring to us. This is referring to people who don't know Christ. So those who do know Christ need to have temperance, discipline, know when to say no, know when to draw the line, know when to cut ourselves off, know when to close our mouths. We ought to have this temperance in our life. If you go back to Galatians, where we were there in chapter 5, and look at verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So the lost, they're ruled by the flesh, by sin, by the devil. That's not who we are. So our God should not be our belly. Our God is God Almighty. That's who we follow. That's who is supposed to control us. Now, let's look at some areas where we have to specifically, as Christians, exercise this temperance. If you go to Titus chapter 2, just a few books over there. Well, more than a few, but Titus chapter 2, right after 2 Timothy. So we look around at the world and say, boy, not much temperance. Well, that's what we would expect. It's a fruit of the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. We do. So there ought be temperance in the church house, in God's people, but oftentimes it's lacking there too because we don't cultivate that part of the fruit of the Spirit. But what's it supposed to look like, temperance in the life of a believer? Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust. Okay, so saying no to the things of the world, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we say no to the things of the world and we live soberly. God's people, because they're God's people, are called upon to know what to say no to and when to say no and to have temperance. Proverbs 25. I'm going to move rather quickly here. Because the truth is, it doesn't matter how short the meeting is. If it starts late, then it's going to feel late. No, we won't rush the word. But I do have quite a few verses I want to look at, so we're going to move kind of quickly here. Proverbs 25:16. Hast thou found honey? Boy, isn't honey a good thing? Even if you don't really like honey, which I do. When I was young, my grandmother would buy specifically for me. They still make it. They just don't. It's not real common. Do you remember spun honey? That clover's and it's white. And oh, Mama used to buy that just for me. I was the baby of the whole family, and I guess got treated like it from time to time. Mama would buy that spun honey just for Grant, and I'd put that stuff on toast and just on anything. All that stuff was so good. That stuff was just so good. I like honey. I think honey is a good thing. Even if you're not a honey fan, this represents something good, something sweet. Okay, something pleasant. All right? Hast thou found honey? Now look. Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. Okay, so just eat what you need, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. You say, yuck. Yeah, yuck. That's where a lack of temperance and moderation leads. Yuck. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Know when to say no. Know when to put the fork down. When you're over this, verse 17 is saying, when you're over at your friend's house, don't overstay your welcome. You didn't know that was biblical, did you? That's Proverbs 25, 17. Don't overstay your welcome. Come and visit. When it's time to go home, go home. You know why? You wear people out. Then you wonder why you don't get invited back. They never go home. They never leave. Last time they brought their pillow and their sleeping bag with them. They just don't go home. Know when to leave. Why? Why do we need to know when to put the fork down and put the cup down? Because we get to a place where we end up just vomiting. Because the end is disgusting when we overindulge. Why do we need to know when enough is enough and when it's time to say, see you tomorrow. Thanks for having me over. Because you get to the point where they don't even want to have you over anymore. You see, overindulgence and a lack of temperance always ends up bad. It always ends up bad. So we can look at that with food. We can look at that with company. Look, one reason we live in a nation so full of illegitimate children. One mother, five children, five different fathers, never married to any of them. One mother, four different children, four different fathers, only specifically knows who one of those fathers is. You know what part of that is? Nobody knows when to tell themselves no and tell their flesh no. If I want it, I want it, I want all, and I want it right now. Nobody knows how to say no. Nobody wants to say no. God's people ought not live that way. That's not how God's people are supposed to live. Know when to leave. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This really is just a couple books over. One book over. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Ecclesiastes. I love the Bible. I really love Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and look at verses 1 through 3. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Know when to put the fork down. Know when to say goodbye, thanks for having me over, see you later. Know when to keep your mouth shut. Know when to sit and listen. Too many times people come into church and they want to do all the talking and they've got something to say and they want to, even when they pray, they want to tell God everything. When was the last time you just listened? Whether it's listening to the preaching, listening to God as you're reading His Word, letting Him do the talking. This verse here tells us to be more ready to sit and listen and learn of God than to ramble on. Sit and listen. What happens when we have all this busyness? Well, it says here that that's where dreams come from. You dream at night, what's usually in your dream? Something you did during the day or did during the week or whatever. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. We just need to know when to clam it up and listen. Exercise temperance. Don't you hate talking to somebody that, like, you're talking And maybe we're that person. I hope we're not. But you ever talk to somebody and it's almost like I mean, you take a half a second to breathe and they're jumping in. But they can't stop interrupting. They can't wait until you're done with your sentence. They don't know how to be moderate, to have temperance, and just wait and tell myself no. You'll get your turn in a minute. You'll get your spin. You'll get to kick. We just have to wait. Self-control, we won't turn here, but 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Paul says, "I take my flesh and I keep control of it so that it doesn't control me." Temperance, knowing how to control, knowing when to say no, knowing when not to go overboard. Now here's a question I want to pose to you. You might be able to sit here this morning and identify, maybe the Holy Spirit is currently bringing to mind an area of your life where you say, "I'm lacking temperance right there." Or maybe he's bringing 3, 4, 5, I don't know. Maybe there's an area of your life that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now and saying, "Here's where you have not been very temperate," okay? And we want to respond to that, and we want to respond to that biblically, and we want to exercise temperance there. We want to confess that to God and let the Holy Spirit help us to exercise temperance there, okay? But now I want to pose a question to you. Remember earlier when I gave the definition of temperance, and it's normally a lack of moderation when it comes to the appetites of the flesh and everything? That's normally what it is. Could I ask you this question? Why is it so rare that someone indulge in the things of God? Why don't we ever see somebody just indulging in His Word and indulging in His prayer? Not that you could ever overindulge in the things of God. You can't. Why is it so few of us try? Let me point something out to you. When somebody does it, we don't recognize it. And it looks strange to us. And I'll prove it to you. This is not my analogy. This is an analogy I heard months ago, but it fits here this morning. But I'll prove to you that when people throw themselves and indulge in God's Word the way that we indulge in the things of the flesh, it looks strange to other Christians. A young man gets saved. He's soaking it up. He's in every service. He's reading. He's praying. He's studying. He's asking questions. The fruit of the Spirit is blooming in his life. And he just has this desire to know more and be what God wants him to be and to just drink it up and soak it up. I mean, he cannot get enough of what God has. Most churches today, what will they say to that young man? What will they label him as? Oh, God must be calling you to what? Preach. Now, Brother John just said something that's true as well. Fanatic. Oh, you're a fanatic. Well, you know, I'm saved, but you're a fanatic. Really? Look, if you can put a piece of foam rubber this big that's shaped like a piece of cheese on your head, 20 below with your shirt off, and paint yourself green, that's a fanatic. If I can do the same, not take shirt off and paint and all that, but if I can take that same zeal and apply it to God, I'll take it. But here's what happens. Somebody's just on fire and they say, "Oh, God must be calling you to preach." Why? Oh, because look how excited, look how... Why does everybody think that young man's called to preach when all that young man's doing is properly responding to Christ saving his soul and hungering and thirsting after the things of God? But the rest of the church says, oh, he's just a little bit more serious than us. God must be calling him to preach. No, God's just calling him to be a true Christian, and he's just responding to it correctly. But the rest of us, maybe we're responding incorrectly, and we ought to say, you know what? That right there is how we all ought to be responding. The guy that goes overboard is always being called to preach or being called to be a missionary or something, when the truth is, not that God isn't calling that person, but the truth is, you know what? He's just responding to the word and the gospel and the fact that he's saved and not going to hell the way a Christian's supposed to. He's just hungering and thirsting after the things of God. But the point is this, church. We show such lack of temperance when it comes to the things of the flesh, but we have so much when it comes to the things of God, and it ought to be the exact opposite. Learn to say no when it comes to the things of the flesh. And learn to say yes every time we read God's Word. Every time God's Word says, fix this, yes, Lord. Do this, yes, Lord. Witness more today, yes, Lord. Spend more time, yes, Lord. Here's more for you to eat. Here's more for you to drink. There's no such thing as temperance when it comes to being obedient to God's Word. Temperance we need for everything else, because if not, those things will rob us and interfere with us being in God's Word and being who He wants us to be. So let us exercise temperance where it's supposed to be exercised. I want to read one last passage to you, and we'll close with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I want to finish with this. I want to finish with the result of the lack of temperance. Here's what the end result is. We already read vomit. Our neighbor hates us because we don't exercise temperance. Let's read this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And this is what we'll close with, 1 through 11. Remember, temperance when it comes to the things of the flesh, the things of the natural appetites, but not when it comes to the things of God. Go ahead and gorge. I mean, just go ahead. You can't vomit this up. Just eat all you can get. I mean, just soak it all up. Quit exercising temperance when it comes to God's Word. That's not where we're supposed to exercise it. Exercise it everywhere else so that those things don't keep us from this. But let's close with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Richest man that ever lived, had everything anybody could ever want, wrote these words. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. When something is vain, it means it's empty. No substance, no meaning. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Now watch. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the song, sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Now pay close attention to verse number 10. Here is Solomon's lack of temperance. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. He said, I told myself, no, never. I never told myself no. If I wanted it, if I saw it, I got it. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And then verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. That's the theme of Ecclesiastes. And vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, I never told myself no. If I wanted it, I got it. I didn't withhold anything from myself. And then I stood back and I looked at all of it. And all I could say was this: none of this means anything. It's all empty. And he said, vexation of spirit, it doesn't do anything but cause me problems. It doesn't do anything but make trouble for me. That's the result of lack of temperance in our lives. So we look at the world and we say, oh yeah, temperance, that's lacking there. But church, the problem is it's lacking with a lot of God's people too. And we're the ones that are supposed to have it because it's the fruit of the Spirit. We need to learn how to tell ourselves no. We exercise temperance. We're a friend to moderation. We don't indulge in the world and the flesh. Our life is not one of vulgarity. We are to submit to God and allow the Holy Spirit to help us deny ourselves for the good of the gospel and our witness. So as we look at this last part of the fruit of the Spirit, let me ask you this: how's your temperance? How's your temperance? And maybe this morning you could say, Pastor, God's already dealt with me on this, and maybe there's some work to do in the area of temperance, and we thank God for that. Now let me ask you this. Are you exercising temperance when it comes to prayer and the Word? Are you kind of holding back there? Look, overindulge here. You can't overindulge. Just get in there. Tell ourselves no to everything else. Let's pray. We'll have a hymn of invitation, and then we'll dismiss and have a short meeting.